When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, this is Adam Hunter. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted. I just got back literally from Texas. I was doing Sol Ross University in Alpine, Texas. I took two flights, drove 3 hours, did the show, drove 3 hours back, took two flights back, and now I'm here. And I got a ticket at the airport. Great. But I'm here, and it's a very exciting show. We have a great, great show. We have Eddie Wineland is calling in. We have Jessamyn Duke, who just lost an amazing fight yesterday on The Ultimate Fighter, which, I mean, probably the fight of the year. It was a battle. It was a battle, and she's calling in. Chris Holdsworth is going to be on the show. Kendall Grove, who won The Ultimate Fighter. By the way, Holdsworth, I'm super excited about that. I'm picking him to win it. Great kid. Real happy about having him on the show. Kendall Grove, who's got five kids, he told me. Five kids, which is why he's up right now in Hawaii. It's 3 hours behind us in Hawaii, and he's up. And Jessie Jane, the adult film actress, the beautiful. She's going to give us her picks for 166, and I'm going to get right into it. I can't wait for this week. It's going to be Cain versus Dos Santos. It's the rubber match. It's going to be a great fight. I mean, the first fight, I thought, you know, I'm not saying it was a lucky punch. It was a weird punch in the back of, like, the back of the ear punch always sets off your equilibrium, and it doesn't always, but when it does, it's a weird, crazy punch. It's a legal punch, but Cain sort of, he knocked him out. He hurt him. He dropped him. He pounded on him. They stopped it. In the rematch, Cain just, you know, storched him, and it was funny. I mean, I was writing jokes during that whole thing, but, you know, Dos Santos came out to Rocky Balboa and left looking like Rocky Dennis. But it was Cain. It was a great fight. I think Cain's gonna win this fight. I do. I think it's not gonna be as easy. He just got his black belt in jiu-jitsu, so now he has to change his tattoo to Black Pride. No, I'm kidding. But it's gonna be a really good fight. It's gonna be a good fight. It's gonna be a tough fight. But I think Cain's going to win. He trains with Cormier every day, and I think that in itself is, when you have Cain Velasquez and Daniel Cormier as training partners, it doesn't get any better. You got a guy who's a two-time Olympic wrestler, two-time junior college wrestler, All-American, in the finals of the NCAAs, and you have Cain Velasquez, who's an All-American wrestler, who's a champion every day, sparring with each other. It's like, it's amazing. And I heard from legitimate sources that in wrestling, Cormier wins. In MMA wrestling, Velasquez wins, which is interesting. But it's gonna be a good fight. Dos Santos said that he used the wrong strategy last time. I guess he's bringing a gun to the octagon this time, because It's going to be great. I mean, last time, it's going to be a good fight. I'm excited about that fight. I am picking Cain Velasquez, but who knows? I've been wrong before. I've been wrong a lot, so you never know, and that's what's going to be very interesting. A lot of great fights on this card. Roy Nelson versus Cormier. Daniel Cormier, who called into the show, is one of the most inspiring people I've ever talked to, I've ever met. First of all, when I was at the MMA Awards, when I wrote for last couple years, he was there, and the dude went out of his way. Hey, man, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you were really, really funny, man. You were hilarious. He's like, you're going to be a star. The guy is one of these guys that you talk to him, he makes you feel so good about yourself that you forget who you're talking to. In fact, my ex-girlfriend, he was with his cousin, and he goes, hey, excuse me, can you take a picture of me and my cousin? And my girlfriend, like, gave him a look, and he's like, whoa, you scared me. I'm like, that's how crazy my ex-girlfriend is, where she scared Daniel Cormier. But, you know, Cormier, back to him being inspiring, the guy, his father was murdered when he was 7 years old on Thanksgiving dinner. He had a daughter who died in a car accident. The guy has been through hell. And if you talk to him, he is one of the most inspiring, like, best attitude, you know, always pushing forward, and he's fearless. So, you know, I think he's gonna win. He is a little older. He's 34, 35. He's getting up there. I think he's the biggest threat to Jon Jones, Daniel Cormier. If Cormier beats Roy Nelson, which I think he will, you never know. Roy Nelson's a wild card. That overhand right is a great equalizer. I mean, you look at the guys that Roy Nelson's knocked out, a lot of dudes with that overhand right are stopped. He, you know, Mitrione, Schaub, Dave Herman, got that Congo, that great overhand right. I think that Cormier is going to beat him. You look at the guys that Cormier's beat, Josh Barnett, Bigfoot Silva, Frank Mir. It seems like, you know, Cormier's going to win. He's got more to lose in this fight. Roy Nelson's coming off a loss to Stipe Miocic. He's got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. That's when you're the most dangerous. I think Cormier's going to grapple him, use his wrestling. I think he's going to win. It's going to be a good fight. Roy Nelson's in shape. He's actually in shape, in the best shape of his life. These are two guys that could both fight at 205. But back to what I said about Jon Jones. So Jones, let's say Jones beats Glover, which I think he will. I think he'll beat Glover. Then people are going to say, well, you can't give Cormier the automatic title shot. Okay, well, I think he should fight Gustafson next. The winner of that fight fights the winner of Jones-Glover. That's what I think. I think that would make sense. You never know, though. You never know. Nelson could come in, land that right. Nelson's never been stopped. He's one of those guys, except for Arlovski, which was a weird fight back in the day. It's going to be a good fight. Roy Nelson's tough. The guy bleeds ketchup. I mean, he's huge. It's going to be a good fight. The thing about Nelson, though, is that he can't seem to beat those top-tier guys. Like I said before, he loses to Verdum, he loses to Dos Santos, he loses to Mir, he lost to Stipe Miocic, who's arguably in the lower half of the top 10. You know, can he beat Daniel Cormier? Also, you know, losing weight, he's never fought in shape before. Think about Roy Nelson. He could take any fight on any notice because he's never in shape anyway. That's what my dad said, by the way. It was kind of funny. So Gilbert Melendez versus Sanchez. It should be a great fight. Diego Sanchez is a guy who was following me on Twitter and out of nowhere, one day writes, I didn't even know he was even following me, going, dude, you keep making me laugh uncontrollably. Please don't make fun of me too much. Thank you. I was like, holy shit, yes. Like, that was, it's going to be a good fight. It's one of those things. Gilbert Melendez, before his last fight against Ben Henderson, was on a 7-fight winning streak. And you could argue he beat Ben Henderson. I thought he won that fight. It was one of those things where it was really, really close. I thought he lost to Josh Thompson, another really, really close fight. Whereas Sanchez has, people said that maybe he lost to Gomi. I thought he beat Gomi. It was a very close. But, you know, Sanchez lost to Ellenberger. It's going to be one of those, which Diego Sanchez shows up. It's going to be a good fight, though. Very interesting fight. Very interesting fight. Gonzaga is taking on, who's Gonzaga taking on? He's taking on Sean Jordan. Should be a good fight. You know, like, Gonzaga's got the hairiest chest in MMA. The guy should be a Kardashian. I mean, he's like a walking Sasquatch. But he's a great fighter. He's a great fighter. He just knocked out Dave Herman, who, by the way, according to Sean McCorkle, Dave Herman says that he only, according to McCorkle, Herman is such a lazy guy that he was allowed to wrestle in college and not go to practices. He's like, because he was that good and that talented, which is pretty amazing. He was like, he wrestled D1 and he was able to do that. My coach never would have put that. I don't let kids do that in middle school, nonetheless college, but it's pretty impressive that Herman was also, according to McCorkle, spends 2 weeks training before each fight, 2 weeks, which obviously you get to the level in the UFC, you can't do that. So Gonzaga versus Sean Jordan. Sean Jordan's a very talented guy. He won 2 national titles at LSU. Two. He actually looks like he trained on LSD also with those tattoos, but it's going to be a good fight. Dodson is fighting Montague. I don't really know much about Montague other than he beat Useless Gomez, who I like a lot. Useless actually sponsored my wrestling team for middle school kids. I asked on Twitter, can anybody give me money for my middle school kids? Useless wrote out a check, $500. That's how good of a guy Useless is. Not useless at all, but he's a great dude. And he's got a hot girlfriend. If you're listening, or a wife, I don't know if it's his wife or his girlfriend, smoking hot. It's like half Filipina, just, ugh. Anyway, I like Dotson in this fight. John Dotson is another guy called in the show. Great dude. Fun to watch. ADD up the wazoo. Hyper. Always in exciting fights. You will never see John Dotson in a boring fight. Ever. Even after the fight, he's flipping around. Even if he lost his last fight, he was smiling. Just a class act. The undercard looks great. The undercard, Hector Lombard, who is the scariest person I've ever interviewed. If you want to, like, research, hear a funny interview, it's me interviewing Hector Lombard on this show. First of all, I called him up. He was following me on Twitter. I called him up, and I'm like, hey, Hector, you know, how's it going? How's training? I don't think he even knew he was on a podcast, because he goes, why don't you come here and train with me? I was like, no, thank you, sir. I don't want to come train with you, but thanks for the invite. But and then I asked him about Cuba. He goes, I don't want to talk about Cuba. Okay, we don't want to talk about Cuba. It was very awkward, but he was a nice guy. He actually, he emailed me afterwards, and he's like, man, thanks, mate. That was great. I think he's a little misunderstood, but he's a scary dude. There's a very famous story about him and Josh Barnett getting, because everyone says that Hector Lombard in the gym goes to knock people out, and there's a crazy story about him and Barnett getting into a 45-minute war in the gym where they said Barnett got the best of him, but Barnett outweighs him by 100 pounds, so that would make the sense, but I would love to have been there for that. Hector said that, you know, his UFC reign, you know, he won 26 fights in a row in Bellator. It hasn't been that great. He lost to Okami, lost to Tim Boach. Fights that he could have, you know, the Boach fight could have went either way. Okami, I thought, won. But Hector said he's sick of point fighting. He's going for the knockout. And he's fighting Nate Marquardt. And Nate Marquardt's one of those dudes who wins fights, I think he's going to lose. And loses fights, I think he's going to win. He beat up Tyrone Woodley. That was an amazing fight. That was one of that crazy Mortal Kombat thing at the end, that, like, crazy combination. It was amazing. But then he recently coming off a knockout loss to Ellenberger. I thought Ellenberger was going to win that fight. But this fight should be good. You know, I'm picking Lombard. I think that I think Marquardt's chin, I think he's had too many wars. Too many wars. But you never know. The Tim Boach is taking on CB Dalloway. I was just in Maine at my old high school. I went to go back. I saw my plaques back in my Al Bundy, Polk High wrestling. I had like I had plaques in the gym, and I talked to my old wrestling coach that was there, not my coach, but a coach that was there, who was telling me that Boach recently got into the main Hall of Fame. He's fighting CB Dalloway. I think Boach's going to take this. Dalloway, he's a Doberman. They call him that because he's good at humping legs. But he's a tough dude. You can't, you know, CB Dalloway is a tough guy, great wrestler. Boach was a 4-time state champion of Maine. You know, he's coming off 2 brutal losses to Munoz and Philippou, where Dalloway's coming off a win. But Dalloway's chin isn't the greatest. I think Mayhem had a hurt, and Mayhem isn't really known as a hard puncher. You know, Munoz knocked him out. Heyman TKO'd him. You know, another good fight. The whole card's good. It's a great card. I'm excited about this. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to 166. I'm looking forward to, you know, I look forward to every fight, but this especially. Last week in Bellator fights, I don't know if you guys watched it, Congo won. It was kind of cool seeing Congo on a winning streak. Win his fight. Not much of a streak, one fight. But I don't know if he knew he was allowed to punch, because he kept kind of wrestle and knee. I'm not sure they told him that you could punch in Bellator. But it was cool seeing Congo win. When I met Chet Congo, this is kind of a funny story. I met Congo at the MMA Awards. I'm like, hey, I'm Adam. I'm a big fan. And he goes, I'm a gay man. That's what he said to me. I go, okay. I go, that's cool, man. I'm happy that you're gay, you know. And he goes, just kidding. And started laughing. It was the weirdest joke, like, ever. But he told me he was gay. That was funny. But it was like, you know, when a guy that big, I mean, he's huge, Congo. And he's a massive, huge, scary-looking dude. Yeah, my ex-girlfriend loved Congo. She's like, I'm on Team Congo. She always loved Congo. He's a very gentle giant, nice guy. LeVar Johnson got knocked out. That was kind of rough, because I thought he would do better. He's off TRT. A lot of guys, when they go off TRT, it's one of those, you know, one of those weird drugs. You know, not drugs, or testosterone. Is it a drug, testosterone? Or A substance? What exactly, how would you classify testosterone? It's sort of a drug, kind of. I mean, it's kind of in that shady area, but it's one of those things where guys who go off the TRT never seem to fight as well. You know, a lot of it's mental, I'm sure. You know, you're on TRT, you're lifting more, you're in the gym, you're working out harder, and then you go off it, and you're like, you start questioning things, start doubting yourself. You know, it's like me off Adderall. But, yeah. Other things that happened, Ben Askren called out GSP again last week on Twitter. Man, that fight would have more humping than on YouPorn. It would be, you know about Askren, though? I got to give him credit. Askren is a winner. He has the most pins ever in college wrestling. And in MMA, actually, if you look at his fights. But he has the most pins ever. He was a two-time national champion. He was an Olympian. He's a great wrestler. And I think he would give GSP problems. I think GSP would win. GSP has more weapons. But it would be a good... would I pay to see that fight, Askren versus GSP? Absolutely. Absolutely, I'd pay to see that fight. I might be the only one, but you know what? I'm a Ben Askren fan. I like it when a guy like Ben Askren is like, yeah, I'm a wrestler. I don't care. Everyone knows I'm a wrestler. Stop me. I dare you. That, to me, that's awesome. And he goes, and he wrote on Twitter, I'll hump GSP as long as I want to, which I thought was kind of cool. Like, you know, good for you, Ben Askren. Matt Riddle, unretired. Yes, he's out of retirement, Matt Riddle. I think he forgot why he retired, but he's back. And some crazy stuff, actually. If you look on the internet, there was a guy in Brazil who was in a cage fight. You know, I'll call it a cage fight, or, you know, you don't want to say cage fight, but it was, you can't call it the octagon. It was a round cage. People don't say cage fighting. But anyway, he was losing his fight, and then he got mad at the ref for some reason, and then he climbed out of the cage and ran home. Then he had to go back and apologize afterwards. But that's crazy. I don't even think I would do that. If you put me in a cage like tomorrow with Dos Santos, yeah, I would obviously get destroyed. I would get destroyed by Dotson. Okay. However, I wouldn't run out of the cage. I would just give it my best shot. F it. You get to lose, you lose. I mean, come on. What is going on right now? I don't know. Who sanctioned that guy? I mean, there had to be some kind of mental... Well, I guess you never know. People just snap. I mean, I don't know. There are times that I want to jump off stage. I'm in the middle of a show and the crowd sucks. And I don't do it. Because I'm getting paid, or because I have pride, or whatever it is. I don't just give up. You never want to give up in anything. You always got to be the best. No matter what you do, try to be the best. If you're going to be the best... you know, fighter, be the best fighter, be the best garbage man, if you're going to be the best stripper, be Miley Cyrus, go for it. Just, you got to go do your, that's what I respect about these guys, that everybody, almost every guy in the UFC is like, I want to be champion. Jake Shields came on last week, and he said, I think I could beat GSP. All these guys think they could be the best, and that's the way to do it. Matt Brown, I could beat GSP. That's why I respect these guys so much. Even if they're not the best, they want to be the best, and they're trying to be the best. And that's, I don't know, that's just how I feel. We're going to call Eddie Wineland right now and talk about his recent fight against Barao and what he's up to. Eddie Wineland's a great dude. He's a full-time fireman and a fighter. But having one career is tough. So let's talk to him. Hey, it's Eddie Wineland.
What's up, man?
How's it going, man? You're a hard guy to reach.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
I don't know. I've been trying to reach you on Twitter. I was like, oh, man, I hope he's going to come through.
No, I'm so freaking busy, man. I got all kinds of crap going on around here.
Let's talk about that for a while, man. You're a full-time firefighter?
Yeah, yep.
Now, first of all, thank you for that. I mean, you're a hero. That's amazing that you do that. But isn't that hard, being a firefighter and a fighter? I mean, fighting fire,
yeah,
and people.
Yeah. I mean, it goes hand in hand. You know, it's both are different breeds of people. You know, it's one job I'm getting punched in the face. The other job I'm getting punched by, you know, by fire, basically. And you know, it's just an adrenaline dump. You know, and that's kind of what I seek.
And you also do maintenance too. Is that true?
Oh, dude, I do a little bit of everything. I'm doing a full frame off restoration on my Ram right now. I didn't intend it to be that way, But one thing led to another, and I mean, I've had the bed off. I've got the cab off right now. It's a pain, you know. One thing leads to another. You got this off, and it's like, well, while it's off, I might as well change this, and it just kind of spirals out of control.
Dude, you're a real guy's guy, man.
Absolutely. You know, I try to be a man's man, and I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. You know, I'm happy doing that stuff. You know, so if I'm not in the gym, I'm doing something around the house.
That's great, man. So where are you training exactly?
You know, I train on the north side of Chicago, a place called New Breed Jiu-Jitsu, or New Breed Chicago Academy, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's, I go to the north side and I do my strength and conditioning stuff, here in town in Chesterton.
Who are some of the guys that you train with?
You know, they're all just local guys, you know, no big names, you know, there's really nothing going on, but, you know, it's just, they're all real solid guys and, you know, there are no real big names.
Let's talk about the pink elephant in the room. Your last fight against Barao, you know, you won the first round. The second round, you were doing really well. You got caught with a spinning kick, a wheel kick. And then, you know, it's funny because, like, when I first saw it personally, I thought it was a good stoppage. And then I heard you complain about it. And then I watched it again, and I can see where you're coming from. It did seem like a very quick stoppage.
You know, it's I'm still wrestling with that demon. You know, it sucks. You know, that excuse my language, but that sucks. I worked 10 years of my life to get where I was that night, and that referee took it away from me in 30 seconds. I don't care what anybody says. You know, it was a good stoppage. You were out. No, I wasn't out. I guarantee you I wasn't out. I'd be the first person to admit if I was knocked out. You know, I'll give him credit. He called me. It was a good kick. You know, it was a good kick. It didn't land flush. It grazed off the side of my head, hit me in the shoulder. It knocked me down. It didn't knock me out. You know, the referee, I don't think he had his eyes quite on me as good as he should have. He just saw me get knocked down. You know, and that being said, the ref should know, you know, you should know the fighters. Know what they're, you know, is this guy going to recover? Or, you know, I'm a tough dude. I'll take a shot. Beat me up a little bit. It's a title fight. If you're going to stop the fight because of a knockout, make sure I'm face down, out cold. You know, don't stop this fight unless I'm not moving. You know, it sucks. It's a big letdown, so.
No,
I could go on forever and ever about it, and you know, like I said, it's something that I'm still wrestling with. I'm still trying to get past it because it's like that was my fight. You know, anybody who watches it, you know, Barao's supposed to be the best in the world at my weight class. I proved otherwise in that first round.
Eddie, I hate to say, you know, get over it, because I understand. But the thing is that you're probably one or two fights away from getting back at that title again. I mean, it's not like
Exactly. You know, and I've spoke with my manager, and he's on the same page. I mean, it's the bantamweight division isn't as deep as some of the divisions yet. It's still being established. You have your top tier guys, and you know, I think a good solid two wins puts you right back in that title hunt.
No, it does. I mean, and the fact is that, you know, I watched you know, the whole the 24/7, you know, the countdown special. You know, yeah. you seem to get a late start in the sport in general, you know, and to get where you are now from where you were is very exceptional. And then, you know, so it's, and you've got, you know, you've gotten really far. So it's not like you can't do it again.
Right. What do you mean I got a late start?
Like, it's like you started it when you were like what, 16, or like started training?
Oh, you know, yeah, I started when I was 18.
Well, yeah, when you were 18, which is, yeah, I mean, yeah. A lot of guys start wrestling when they're 5 years old, or, you know.
I started wrestling when I was, I mean, I've wrestled since I could walk, basically.
Wow. Okay, so maybe you didn't get that late of a start. But either way, but what I'm saying is that, you know, you could do it again, man. You got a great story.
Right.
I mean.
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk about your brother a little bit, because that's a very inspiring story about, you know, how he was burned. And did you have to stick up for him growing up? Did kids pick on him and you kind of had to?
No, you know, I mean, he was in and out of the hospital, you know, most of his childhood. And I mean, there's been a couple of times where it's been, hey, you know, if you keep this shit up, I'm gonna kick your ass. But you know, he generally kind of gets along with everybody. He does have a little smart mouth when he wants to, when he's kind of, he's a cocky kid, you know. He's that 18, 19-year-old kid that you can't tell him any different. He's always right and this and that. But, I mean, he for the most part stays out of trouble.
Is that what inspired you to become a firefighter?
You know, not really. I never really had any thoughts of being a firefighter. You know, the fact that he was hurt that way, I mean, yeah, it makes me feel good that, hey, I could possibly help somebody that was like in my brother's shoes. But that wasn't my goal. You know, it was, you know, the fire department's hiring, so why don't you go try out? And, you know, it was a job.
Right, right. Now, now that creepy mustache, is that going to stay or is that going to...
No. It had to go. You know, it was one of those things that I've never followed a mustache before, and there was just too much on the line to change things up. So I just went back to what I know. And
good, because I was waiting for Chris Hansen to show up from To Catch a Predator and like sit you down halfway through the fight.
Take a seat. I'm Chris Hansen.
I thought he was going to come out after the first round when you were already sitting on the stool. Chris Hansen was going to show up and start talking to you about.
He's my corner man.
Now, do you want to fight the winner? This is I actually posted. I told people that you were going to be on the show, and they were very excited about that. They had questions for you. Would you rather fight the winner of Asuncio versus Dillashaw or the loser of McDonald versus Faber?
You know, either one of those fights, I think moves me ahead. You know, it's just I'll take any fight really. I mean, as long as it moves me forward. You know, I'm not going to fight the day one guy. I'm not going to fight the guy just coming in. But, you know, all four of those guys are really solid opponents, and they're all up there. And I mean, they've got a good run going. And, you know, that's why I've got managers. So whatever they feel is going to get me back to the title fastest.
And then what somebody also wanted to know what your thoughts are on Barao versus Cruz.
I think Barao will win. It all depends on how Cruz heals. You know, it's an ACL. ACL is a tender spot. You know, it's one of those things that he could come back the same, or he could come back worse. I don't know. It's one of those things that you don't know until you get in there and you push it.
Right. By the way, your wife is very hot. Just so you know.
That's why I decided to put a ring on her finger, because I'm not getting any younger, smarter, or prettier.
No, so, I was checking her out on Facebook. Good job that? With that, man. Good job on the holy cow. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I had to tie her down before she realized she's making a mistake.
Now, after you lost that fight, what is your wife, did she like on eggshell? Because when I used to wrestle in high school, and I was pretty good, but whenever I lost, I wouldn't talk to anybody for like a week until I won again. I was very moody. Now, do you to go through that same thing? You lose to a guy like Barao. Are you in a bad mood at home, or like what?
No,
what happens?
You know, I wasn't really in a bad mood. I mean, if you ask her, she'll tell you I'm always in a bad mood. But normally, if I'm in a bad mood, it's because something went wrong on this. I've been working on this truck for a couple of months now, and it's usually because something went wrong in the barn, and I just come in and throw a fit. But after the loss, it was just, I guess, more disappointment, more. It's hard to even describe the feeling, because, you know, like I said, you work for something for 10 years and then some guy goes, hey, 30 seconds, you know, he takes away in 30 seconds.
All right. All right. First of all, you work for 10 years and you're one of the top five guys in the world. It's not just this one stupid fight. Okay.
You know,
you're the first guy to stop Jorgensen. You beat Brad Pickett. You were the WEC champion. You know, you had a great match with Faber. It's not just one stupid fight where it's not
right.
All this over one thing. Come on. It's like,
right.
look at where you are.
I realize that I've done a lot of things that, you know, a lot of people in the sport will never do, you know, but
99.99999%, dude. It's not a lot of people.
My personality and my nature is I always want more. I'm never satisfied. Give me more. It's that constant drive forward to always want more, and to know that it was there and I didn't get it because of what happened.
Dude, you're turning into Reggie Jackson from Naked Gun. Like, I must kill the queen.
Go ahead and get over it.
Like, come on, man. You're like that guy in what was that Adam Sandler movie? What's his name? The guy like has like lipstick, and then he starts crossing off names.
Yeah. Billy Madison.
Yeah, you're like Billy Matt. You're like the guy from Billy Madison. You're gonna go shoot the ref.
go on a rampage.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're gonna be like up in like a sniper on 167. That ref's gonna get shot. And, wow, look, it's Eddie Wineland up there. Like, dude. You're way too good to be dwelling on this shit, bro. You're a champ. You're a champ. You're a great guy. You save people's lives for a living. It's one bad call, and it's not your whole career. It's not 10 years for one bad call. You're gonna get back up there. You will. The only way you're not up there is if you fucking fix on this, dude. If you like, oh, then you won't. But I mean, I feel like I'm talking to like one of my kids I coach wrestling for. You gotta just, dude. Nobody in the world, you got caught with a spinning wheel kick. Does anybody ever do that to you in practice? I mean, has anybody ever hit that? It's hard to train for that.
No.
You got caught with one lucky move. Okay, it was maybe not lucky, but it was still a move. And you know what? Ref had a quick stoppage. Could argue either way. It. Move on. Onward and upward. You're Eddie Wineland. You have a hot wife.
I agree, man. I agree 100%. I'm getting over it. Like I said, it's just, every once in a while, it'll pop into my head, like, "Gosh, dang it!" You know, if only he would, you know. And but he very well may have finished me. He may have put me away in the next 10 seconds, but I could have gotten up, you know. And that's something that we'll never know. And I think the fans were robbed of that, of what could have been a great fight.
This is where your wife comes in and starts, you know, hooking up with you every time you think of this. She's like, you know what? She sits you down and gives you a lap dance or whatever wives do, or something.
There you
like
go.
That.
Absolutely.
Well, cool. Thanks for calling in, man. Good luck with everything, and I'm a big fan of your work, brother.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of your Twitter feed, man. That shit's funny.
Thanks, Eddie.
That's good stuff.
I appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely, too.
Hello?
Hey, this is Jessamine.
Yeah,
how's it going? It's Adam Hunter. Welcome to the MMA Roasted Podcast.
Yeah, for sure. No, things are good. I actually just rolled up a gym, so I'm sitting here in the parking lot.
Oh, well.
Good time.
Nice. First of all, I want to say congratulations. Your fight yesterday was the best fight I've seen on the season. I think it was going to be fight of the season. It was awesome. Awesome fight. You should be very proud of yourself. That was quite a fight.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So so what's your life been like since being on The Ultimate Fighter? Have you gotten more recognized? Or, I mean, how has life changed?
Things have actually changed quite a bit. It's crazy. It's like the whole experience opened up a lot of doors and just kind of, helped me find new ways to, like, progress my career in ways I didn't even really think was possible. Like, just the people that we met and, the training options and stuff that I have now are just crazy, and it's cool. But yeah, like getting recognized and stuff, like traveling, like you go through especially the Vegas airport. Like I've never experienced that in my life, where people are like, you're in the security line and people are like pulling you out of the line to like want to take pictures and stuff. So
oh, nice.
It's kind of cool. Like I really like it. You know, it's nice. Like people come up eating lunch or something, and you know, oh, I don't want to interrupt you, but you know, I just want to say. It's really great seeing women fight, and I'm a big fan, and you know, just keep doing what you're doing, and like that's cool, you know, that makes you feel good. So,
well, I mean,
I must be doing something right.
Well, no, number one, you're like in the history books now. You're the first woman ever to fight on The Ultimate Fighter and ever to win, so you're like a random trivia question now. I mean, right off the bat,
right?
Which
it's
is great,
pretty cool. I was pretty excited about that.
No, you did great. And by the way, let me just tell you something. You are a very hot woman, very beautiful girl. You got a very, very beautiful face, great body, and you could fight. You're like the perfect girlfriend, because you know. So I have to ask you: do you have a boyfriend?
I am in a relationship. Yes.
With a guy.
Yes.
Okay. Is he a fighter?
No.
What did your boyfriend do, and how do we get rid of him?
He's actually, it's my coach. It's the guy I've been, you know, who I've worked with for years. You know, I've trained at the same gym for, you know, my entire career, and he's been a part of my life basically since I started mixed martial arts. So,
he got you young.
Sorry.
That's. Man, the guy must have seen a future. This is your coach in Kentucky or out here?
In Kentucky.
So is he in Kentucky now? Your coach, or is he out here with you?
Yes.
So do
no, he's in Kentucky. We've got a gym, and you know he's got to take care of that, and you know all the responsibilities and everything that go on there.
Do you guys have a what happens in L.A. stays in L.A. clause, or it's a very
nothing like that.
Oh, that's good. You're faithful. That's a very good quality. Now, I have
Thank
to say, because Anthony said that you guys were locking eyes.
Oh my God.
Would you like to comment on that at all?
Really, there's not much to comment. You know, that was Anthony pretty much did that to everybody. It's not one of those things like, oh, he's mentioning me, so I feel special. Like he was like that with all the girls. That's just the way Anthony is, and he's I described him on the show. I said it was kind of like the you ever seen that, like there's like a little stray puppy running around, and like you run up and like you pet it and give it a little bit of attention, but then it won't leave you alone. Like the puppy just follows you everywhere from that moment on.
So you were so you were petting Anthony.
That was kind of him.
So you were petting him on the show.
No, I mean if you were nice to him at all, if you gave him any sort of attention that was positive at all, that was all it took. No. And you know you'd be dealing with him for the rest of the day.
Nice. Well, it actually was kind of funny the way that he was saying every girl wants him, and then Sarah did want him. That was the most surprising thing, is that Sarah was.
That was funny.
Sarah actually liked him, so I guess his shtick was working. Now you said that you were a model and an actor. Now was that in Kentucky, or you were a model out here? Or
that's what's kind of funny is like what I said is that I went to modeling school and acting school, and I pursued both very briefly when I was young, like 14, 15, 16. I went to acting school after I graduated high school, so I was like 17, 18 then. So this all happened when I was a lot younger, and it was just kind of something that I like sort of just wanted to see, like I wanted to just kind of get my feet wet and see what it was like, see what it was about. And I never had any sort of like significant career or anything like that. It was just kind of one of those things, but the whole industry, like it never really appealed to me, like the way everything worked. And that's why I never really pursued it that hard. It just, something about it just didn't click with me, and it just wasn't for me.
Right.
And so that's why after just a couple of years, I was like, you know what? I don't even really want to do this. So
yeah. Well, I mean, if your heart's not into it, what's the point?
It's just one of those things that you put on like a resume. Like I went to, you know, modeling school, I went to acting school. I did some brief work in modeling, took some pictures, and never got paid for anything. It was hardly a career.
Okay. So that didn't train you for cutting weight at all?
No, not even close. It's a completely different thing.
Now, how did you get into fighting? Like, why did you wrestle in high school, or do you have any kind of grappling experience or?
Nothing. I had zero combat sport experience. And basically I moved to a new town and was going to college there, and I was living with my mom, and she was like, you need to get out of the house. Like, you need to make some friends. You need to go get a hobby. And so I was just like, cool, I'll just join a gym. I'll find something to do. Cause I did play sports in school. So I wanted to do something like that, something different. And, I signed up, there was a MMA gym and, in town, and I signed up and went to the kickboxing classes first, but it was not long after that I was enrolled in every class they had, grappling, kickboxing, you name it, you know, MMA, wrestling, whatever it was, I was doing it in there. And I loved it. I just trained because I enjoyed it. I didn't have any aspirations to fight. I didn't have, you know, any goals to fight. I just was enjoying training and learning this like totally new thing, and didn't even have my first amateur fight until I've been training for 4 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so it's like it was one of those things, like it kind of just progressed slowly at first, because honestly at first there were no real options to fight. Like when I first started training, I think it was like 2006, and as far as like amateur women's MMA, it was pretty much non-existent.
So how old were you when you walked into a fighting gym?
19.
Wow, you got a pretty, that's a pretty late start.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for some, like, that sounds like, oh, you know, oh my God, you were 19. But, like, there are people now that are, like, there are kids in the kids' classes that are doing this stuff at, you know, age 5 and 6.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. 19's a late start, especially, you know, some of the girls in the gym you're training with have been training since they were on the high school wrestling team, or, you know, did some kind,
right.
of, some kind of, you know, Muay Thai. I mean, your striking is exceptional. I have to say, it was a really, we'll talk about the fight a little bit. You know, I thought you definitely won the first round. First round was yours. You went for a standing guillotine in the first round. How close were you to finishing that guillotine?
When I first snapped it on, it was tight. I knew it was tight, and it was only for like a second or two, and then I kind of felt it. If you're ever experienced with grappling, all you know as soon as you lose it, like you feel their chin go down, like you feel it. You feel it the second that it's like not there anymore. But I still had her, and I didn't want to just let go because I knew I was going to get punched in the face if I did. So I tried to like find a way to get out of it without like, you know, getting taking too much damage. So, but when I first snapped it on, like I felt it. It was deep. I had it, and I was like, I almost actually pulled guard to finish it because I've done that before in a fight. I finished a fight with a guillotine like that, and almost did. But as soon as I felt her chin slip in, I was like, I don't have it anymore. So I need to try and recover from this.
But did that take up a lot of energy? You know, trying, because I know sometimes when you go for a guillotine and you don't get it, sometimes it could wipe you out a little bit.
No, I mean, I didn't feel that way at all. I you know, I'm pretty experienced in grappling, and chokes are like my favorite attack. So I work on my squeeze. I work on that squeeze endurance so that my arms don't gas out when I do that. So I didn't feel that way at all. It was one of those things just more like I need to just make sure I can get out of this smoothly. Like you go for it and I need to recover and not get in a bad position for it.
Right. And then like the second round, it seemed like you were really using your, because you're a very tall girl, and you fight usually at 145, right? This is the first time going down to 35?
No, actually, all my pro fights have been at 35, and my last amateur fight was actually at 35, and I've stayed ever since.
Okay.
The only time I fought at 45 was early on in my amateur career.
It seemed like in the second round, it seemed like you really utilized your height and your reach in the first round, and you were working your jab. The second round, you kind of got away from your jab. You kind of were dropping your left and letting her come in for that overhand right. Was that because you were tired, or was that like you didn't know that was happening, or?
So if you watch, it was like one of the very first punches she landed on me that was solid. It busted my nose, and like bad. Like I instantly felt the blood start going. Like it was one of those, like as soon as she did it, I was like, oh, she broke my nose. Like I thought in my head, I was like, my nose is broken. And this is like the first round. And from that moment on, I had a really hard time breathing. And if you watch, like you see me constantly like pulling at my nose, trying to clear it. I just couldn't get air. Like, and I was breathing with my mouth open, and it was causing some major discomfort. And
right.
I could tell, like in the moment, I just knew my nose was messed up. But when I actually watched it, you know, and got to see it, I was like, oh yeah, I could tell that it was screwing with my breathing bad. And it made me, and she pushed the pace. Like she, you know, she knew it. Like she, from what I heard, you know, that her corners told her she lost the first round. So she came out in the second round pushing that pace. And, you know, it was hard. So you couple that, it definitely,
no, they
it
told
definitely
her,
was pushing me.
They told her that you didn't like going backwards, that you didn't like going backwards, to put pressure on you because you didn't like going backwards at all. And by the way, I'm a comedian on antidepressants, who's, you know, I do comedy for a living. So I am in no way an expert on striking. You would kick the crap out of me in a striking match. So I'm just giving my stupid opinion. And if it's wrong, I apologize. And by the way, even with a black eye and a busted nose, you looked really hot. Just for the record.
Thank you.
You looked very hot with the black. I mean, I'm not saying that go for that should be like your look or anything, but I'm just saying that
gotcha.
It was a very, how old your boyfriend, by the way?
He's 42.
Wow. That's wow. And you're 19, you said?
I'm 27.
Oh, 27. Okay, okay. Yeah, okay. I knew you were 19. Well, he's damn. All right. Okay. So, in that third round, right, which it was an even fight going into the third round, it seemed like she kicked you in the stomach in the second round. Which caused you to back up, and then she kind of went in for the kill, and you were taking a beating. I mean, you came back, but how much did that kick to the stomach affect you for the going into the third round?
It definitely hurt, and I mean, it's one of those things like when you get hit, it sort of, you don't feel like when you get hit in a fight, it's not like you think, ow, that hurt. Usually, it's more of something like it it stopped my breathing, and I couldn't catch my breath for a second.
Right.
And you try to recover really quick. It's not so much a pain thing. Adrenaline takes care of that in a fight.
Right.
But if you it's like, you know, it was a hard hit, and it totally broke my rhythm. And as soon as like she saw that, that's when she came forward and she started teeing off. And honestly, like, in the fight, it felt like a lot longer than what it looked like on the video. So, like, when I rewatched it, I was like, man, that felt way worse when it was actually happening.
No, I mean, it
was hitting really hard.
I couldn't believe it, because you were landing some clean shots on her, and she was kind of just walking through a lot of them. I mean, was that discouraging for you? Like, what the hell? What do I have to hit this girl with?
Not too terribly discouraging. Like, when you strike a lot, in your head, you should never think like, oh, I'm going to hit them with this one shot and it's going to drop them. Like, you train for overkill. Like, you train for them to walk through that stuff so that you can keep just hammering it in, because in a fight, it's different. They've got adrenaline. They've got whatever. They're, you know, their own heart, their own determination. Like, I do it. You'll take a lot of punishment.
Yeah.
And walk through a lot, you know, just out of sheer determination. So you train to expect that, and if they do fall down, that's just a bonus.
No, it was a great. It was a great fight. It could have went either way. Really, it could have went either way. It was real close, real close. And then it was sad because you were like crying at the end, and I really felt for you, because number one, you fought a girl who had way more experience with you than you. You went in there, you fought your ass off, you gave it all you had, and you could have got the decision. It was a very close fight, and I was like, oh man, it was hard to watch. I don't know. You seem like a really, really cool, nice girl, and it was hard to watch that.
I'm not gonna lie, like it broke my heart pretty bad to lose, and it happened. It was super close. Like, I knew it was close. And when it was crazy. You know, when I was in there, I felt like at the end of the third round, I felt like I had edged it out. I really thought like I had done it.
No, your last 10 seconds.
Super close, but I felt confident that I had done it.
And you kept going forward. It was. I mean, even at the end, you throw those elbows that were freaking sick. It was like Mortal Kombat at the end. It was awesome.
That's because I saw, I cut her with a knee, and like within the last 30 seconds. And when I saw it, I saw the blood. Like, I just sort of thought, like, this is my chance, you know? And like, that's when I just went for it. And I thought I'd edged it out, but, you know, I didn't. But it was so close. It was so close. I didn't, you know, anything can happen in a fight like that as far as the decision goes. It just depends on what they're scoring, what they're looking at, what they're taking into consideration. I, you know, had a way busted nose with blood and had taken a few hard shots that knocked me around a little bit more than her. And, you know, they probably viewed that. So other people would say, oh, you were aggressive, you did this, you did that. But you just never know. And it was hard.
It was just two things. It was she was landing that overhand. You were dropping your left a little bit, and she was landing the overhand right. And then it was also sometimes when you were throwing your right, you were overextending yourself, and then she would take a step back and then come back with the 1-2. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, for sure. Yeah, it was a fight. I mean, it was back and forth, and I definitely, you know, rewatching it, I was screaming at myself, you know, watching the replay, like, oh my god, like, but when you're in there, I mean, it's a totally different ball game. It's easy to sit back, you know, even to myself and critique and see the things. But I remember what it was like being in there, and we were both going full tilt. Like, there was no holding back. Like, we were, everything we threw, we were trying to knock each other's heads off.
No, I mean, if I was Dana, I would hire you in a second as a fighter and the ring girl. I think you should be the ring girl of your own fights. Cause your body smokes everybody in the UFC. I was like, you made me feel ugly and fat, and I'm like a dude. I watched you,
sorry.
And I was like, what the hell? I'm like, Jesus Christ! I started doing push-ups after watching that. It's you have a very lucky boyfriend. All right. So anyway, all right. So at the end of the fight, Misha came over to Rhonda to shake her hand, and Rhonda gave her the finger. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. They don't like each other. Like, Rhonda and Misha, they don't like each other. They've got their own beef. Like, that had nothing to do with my fight or what went down right there. They don't like each other, and they've got plenty of reasons not to like each other. And, you know, their beef is their beef, but that had nothing to do with my fight.
No, I know. I'm just wanting to comment on the fact that Ronda gave her the... I mean, look, I'm a Ronda Rousey fan. I'm on Team Rousey. Ronda's been very supportive of me and MMA Roasted, and I think she's cool as shit. When I met her, she's cool. She's hot. I'm on Team Rousey. But I do think she should have just shook her hand. I mean, giving the finger isn't the best, you know. I mean, you know, I coach a wrestling team for little kids.
They gave the finger to a kid. Go ahead, sorry.
I coach a wrestling team for little kids. If I lose my match, I can't give the finger to the other coach in middle school wrestling.
Right.
You know, I just can't do that.
I'm not justifying it at all. But what I don't think people realize is that there was so much happening all the time there, every day. Like, the editing makes it seem like things happen in a certain order, and that's just not the case. Like, we spend a lot of time, like, sitting in rooms, waiting for stuff to happen, passing each other in the hallways. Like, you spend a lot of time around each other, and there was just always stuff going on.
Right.
And there always seemed to be, like, a lot of instigating and a lot of pushing of buttons. And, you know, it never really let up on Ronda. And, you know, she just stayed in defense mode basically the whole time, because it was never ending and extremely frustrating. So I'm not excusing it and I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying it's not what people think. It's
no, I give her a lot of credit. I mean, she honestly is. She tells you exactly how she feels. And I wish sometimes more people did that, because there's
she
no.
She did shake Raquel's hand. She did go over to Raquel and shake her hand and tell her good job and you know, and everything.
It didn't show that. It didn't show that, her shaking Raquel's hand. That was the problem.
No, she did. She congratulated her, and like, they were very nice to her and very, very supportive. Like, she, you know, and you can ask Raquel. Like, she, you know, Ronda was nothing but a good sport and respectful and nice to her.
Okay. All right, so good. I'm happy to hear that, because I'm a Ronda fan, and I'm a Jessamine fan. Even though you have a 42-year-old boyfriend who is your trainer, I'm still a fan, and he's a very lucky guy. So
thank you.
You're welcome. So anyway, I know you got training. Are you training with Eddie Bravo now, or are you training with Ronda's team? Who are you training with?
Both. I'm actually out here in LA, and you know, working in this camp. I'm training with like Ronda's team, so. A lot of the same guys that were on the show, like I've got to work with like Edmund and her striking coach, and at Glendale Fight Club, and then I'm also, you know, training with Eddie Bravo, and who is our jiu-jitsu affiliate. Like, before I came out here, like, that's who I that's like at one of our main schools of jiu-jitsu, that our school, my school back in Kentucky, that we work on. So being out here, being at HQ, has been really good too. So I'm kind of getting a good variety of things, and you know, and a great team and great people, and it's very motivating and inspiring to be out here, and so I'm very happy and getting some really good training.
Nice. Well, you have to come to a comedy show when you're out here, because that's where I live out here.
For sure.
So I will.
I would love that.
Yes, because I would love to make you smile and see that, the beautiful smile. Just. But good luck with everything. Congratulations on all your success. It's very, very well deserved, and keep being you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for anytime.
Hello.
Hey, is this Chris Holdsworth?
Hey, what's up, man?
How's everything, brother?
Going good. Finished up with some good old wrestling.
Nice, nice. Now, Chris Holdsworth, now you've been following me on Twitter. I've been following you on Twitter. I've been talking to you for about almost a year now. I had no idea how good you were. Holy shit, man. Like, I thought, I mean, no offense, but you look like my little neighbor or something. Like, you don't, you look like this, like, young, innocent kid, and you're a beast, dude. You're a beast.
I thought I looked like a baboon.
sorry about that, man. You don't look like a baboon at all.
No,
I
no
knew
need
you,
to be sorry, bro.
I knew you would take that well. I knew you would take it well. You look nothing like a baboon. If you looked, I don't, like a baboon, I wouldn't have wrote that. And by the way, what he's talking about is a text from last fight. A couple things ago, I had the guy said he has the body or something, and then I wrote "and the face of a baboon." But I knew you'd be a good sport. I knew it.
Oh, for sure.
I knew you'd be a good sport.
I take jokes all day long, and I can dish them out too. So
yeah,
it's all part of fun, man.
No, man, you're killing it. Now I got to ask you a couple questions. First of all, you know, the second episode, you and Juliana seemed like you guys were on the thing together. You said to her, yeah, I'm looking for a girl with just friends with benefits. That's what I'm looking to forward. And then her toe faced your toe. It was some weird body language thing going on. And then you win your match and you go, Juliana's going to do some nice things for me. And I was like, nice things? That is the best way to put like a handy. Like, holy cow. Like, what went on? Tell us the truth. Give us the real deal.
Dude, she hooked it up, man. Like, you know, the first night in the house, she was, like, making food for everyone. She, like, introduced me to, like, dipping Oreos in peanut butter.
All right, forget this food nonsense. I'm talking about, like, did you hook up with her, bro? Did you?
Oh, man, I don't kiss and tell, dude. You got to keep watching the season. Oh,
come on, you got it. The fans want to know, man. Everybody, I mean, it seems like you that, because she says she likes to put guys in triangles during sex. That's what she said, body triangles. She came on the show.
Yeah, well, So do I. I like putting chicks in triangles when I'm having sex. So. Well,
it's a lot hotter when she said it, just so you know. I liked it better when she said that, but okay. So,
but, you know, just put it this way. We still talk, and she just invited me out to Vegas to come train with her. And, yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Wow. Now, it seems like you're the only guy in the house that likes her. Or person, actually. She came on the show. She seemed really cool. But according to Anthony, she was bending over real slow and showing her ass cheeks all the time. And then she said she had a boyfriend, but she didn't.
What's wrong with that?
That's what I said. But he said that she doesn't like her because she was teasing everyone in the house by showing off her ass. Is that true?
A tease is better than a no tease, you know? We're stuck in the house for 6 weeks. I'll take all the tease that I can get.
I am totally with you. And then he said that Raquel and Shayna ran off to a hotel and hooked up right after taping. Is there any truth to that?
Oh, shit. I don't know, man. He must have some inside info. I didn't know about that one.
were you even there? How come I know all this stuff? I wasn't even there. And
I'm pretty sure something went down. You know, there was some drinking the night after the, you know, everybody got let out. Like, I was drinking Moscato, Cristal. Shit I've never even drank before. So it was a great night. So I guarantee you something happened. Everybody was staying in the same hotel, and some people left early. And
who left early?
Went their own. Huh?
Give us names, bro. We need names. We have to know the inside
bro,
scoop.
You're trying to get me killed over here.
So Raquel and Shayna did like some scissoring after the show. Is that what? There was some clam smacking going on. Is that what happened or?
Man, I can't say for sure, but I wouldn't doubt it.
You wouldn't doubt it. All right, okay, all right. That's fair enough. Now, last week we had Danny Castillo saying that you train with Benavidez all the time. I mean, is that your main, one of your main partners, the guys over at Alpha Male?
Yeah, man, always, like, I keep getting asked this question. Like, I don't know if people are just, like, on another planet. They're like, hey, do you get to train with Uriah? Hey, do you get to train with TJ? Yeah, I'm training with these guys every day. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, hype something up, but, like, sometimes people just ask the stupidest questions on social media, and it's just like, man, if you had a brain, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but, like, it's common sense.
Yeah.
How many times am I going to post something on Twitter that I train with Team Alpha Male? How many things are you going to know about me, and you're going to ask me these stupid questions? I just want to, like, not respond to people, but, you know, I got to be nice and respond to everyone as possible.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Is that they give the illusion when you go on The Ultimate Fighter that you're just a kid who tried off The Ultimate Fighter, you know? That's the illusion.
Yeah.
So that people don't realize that, like, you know, you've been a pro, you're a black belt under Mark Lehman, you're this, that. They just think that you're basically some kid trying out for The Ultimate Fighter. So that's why it doesn't, you know, that's why, and then all of a sudden it doesn't, it's just the illusion of, like, oh, you know, you're just a kid on the show. Like, they don't realize, like, you know, some of the guys on the show in the past have been, you know, in Strikeforce or in this or in that, or, you know, have already have went really far. You know, they think it's just,
yeah. So I've been training with these guys for the last 2 years. So I'm training with these guys on a daily basis, and it's been great, man. I can't ask for anything better. It's like a, you know, UFC fight every sparring session. I'm leaving sessions with headaches and, you know, ripped off limbs and hurt necks, but it's all part of the game, man. I leave the gym a better fighter every day. And it's been a great experience. It just keeps getting better.
Well, I mean, you're a super nice. I mean, you seem like a real nice guy. You've been through a lot of you know, hardship. Especially, you know, I watched a thing about your brother, and that was really inspiring, man. That was really, really
thanks,
cool.
Thanks, dude. Dude, another the weird thing that's been tripping me out is, like, you know, you get some weirdos on Twitter, but you get some really weirdos on Facebook. It's just like, I don't know if it's the whole private message thing. You know, people can just private message you, but I've been getting some, you know, some dudes poking me that I don't even know. And I'm not a homophobe by any means, but, like, when a guy pokes you more than once on Facebook and you don't know him, something's a little weird about that. Or so, you'll just get guys like, I want to grapple you. I want to touch you. And it's just like, bro, come on, man. I don't swing that way.
That's actually me, by the way, from a fake profile. Just so you know, that's actually me.
No, it's like some dudes in India or something. I don't know what they're up to out there, but...
Wait, so you haven't been... So, basically, have you been getting any chicks to want to poke you, or just guys from India?
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to mention those. But, the guy's one is just really, like, the chick that poked me, you know, I'll poke her back, and, you know, we'll be in a poking war for a little bit, and then she'll send me a message or something, but, you know, the guys that poke you, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I know, I hear you, man. I once had a guy... I did a show in North Carolina, and this guy came to my show, and he was like, "Hey, man, I want to, you know, give you fellatio." And I was like, I wrote to him back. I said, "Dude, I you know, thank you for the nice message. I really appreciate that." And then I wrote, "But I'm straight. I wish all girls were as forward as you. You know, like trying to be a nice guy." And then he goes, "Just because just because you get a fellatio from a guy doesn't mean that you're not straight." I go, "All right, dude, this conversation's over, bro." Like, this was like,
yeah. And I think it comes worse, like, they're just waiting for a response. So when you give them a response, they try to have like a long conversation with you, and it's like, "All right, dude, I gave you like a quick response. Like, I gotta go." You know,
yeah, no, you got first of all, stop talking to everyone that responds to you on Twitter and Facebook. Train, bro. Don't worry about any of, I mean, honestly, I'm telling you from experience, from Last Comic Standing, when I was on in the show, I would get so many people. All my friends from high school came out of nowhere. My so-called friends, you know, that like didn't support me, came out of nowhere. "Oh, we're so proud of you." And some honestly were. But people, you could spend all day long, and sometimes you could forget that, like, what got you there in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm definitely putting in my time on the mat and, you know, getting my training in. But, you know, in between, I try to, you know, reach out to fans and, you know, respond to people. But like you said, like, I'm learning, you know, and I always, like, listen to Rogan, you know, talking about trolls on the forums and stuff like that. And, like, I'm starting to understand, like, you're going to get some haters. You know, in this sport, in this thing, and I've been getting a few of them, and I just block them, dude. I just block them. I don't have time for that shit.
I do the same thing. But first of all, I don't know. I don't understand why anyone would hate you. You've been nothing but a nice guy on the show. You haven't been a jerk to anybody. And I'm not just saying this to kiss your ass. Like, I have to watch every show, like, religiously to come up with those texts from last fight over and over again. And there's nothing that you've done to anybody. I mean, you're the only guy that stuck up for Juliana. And it was like everyone was ganging up on her. And granted, I don't know exactly what happened before, but you were just guys, "All right, guys, you know, cut the shit." It was actually kind of noble. I was like, wow, you know.
The worst backlash I've gotten so far is when I showed her letter. Man, but I thought that was funny, dude.
It was funny.
Like, people can't understand humor. Like,
oh, no, of course
I don't know.
Not.
It's like sometimes, like, they're calling me a sexist prick and all this stuff. I'm just like, man, they don't understand that we're stuck in the house. All we get to do is train. I'm in a room with five other dudes, and I get a letter from a girl, you know, probably the hottest girl in the house. And, like, I'm going to show it to my buds, you know?
Yeah.
And,
we made it. She could be the hottest. Jessamine's pretty hot too. And you know what? Sarah has a nice butt. I have to say, Sarah's, she has crazy eyes though. Like, her eyes look like like she's ready to kill somebody. Yeah. She has those Casey Anthony eyes.
Her last name isn't more ass for nothing.
That's great. I like that. How did I not think of that, you jerk? That's funny as hell. Good work on that one. So her last name is more ass. She does have a nice ass. And I think she's probably the craziest one in bed out of all of them because she talks the least about it. And you know she's got some vent up, you know, crazy issues, you know?
Yeah, she always wears, like, these crazy colorful shorts, like booty shorts to practice. Like, my eyes are not glued to her ass. We're trying to train. I'm just like, come on.
That's awesome. By the way, on the last episode, which, just so you know, airs tomorrow, I got it. It was one of the craziest fights, I think the best fight I've seen of the season, as far as, like, equal. It was... It was amazing. It was Jessamine versus Raquel. I mean, that fight was awesome.
Yeah, that fight was great, man. Like you said, it was probably the most back and forth fight so far this season, and I think the fans are gonna enjoy themselves and get some good enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. It could have won it either way. I thought Raquel landed the harder shots that, you know, I think Jessamine, like she said, she hurt her nose in the first one. She had trouble breathing and was dropping her left a little bit and then was getting countered a lot. And I thought she could have used her distance a little more to keep Raquel away, you know?
Yeah, I think Jessamine's like a female version of myself, kind of. Like, long, pinky. You know, I didn't really get to see too much of her jiu-jitsu during the show, but she's got some great kicks and some great striking, some good knees, and she's overall, I maybe talked to her about two times during the show. I wish I talked to some of the girls on our team more just to kind of get to know them. Like, I'm following her on Twitter now and stuff, and, like, they really have good personalities, and, you know, Peggy's actually really funny.
Yeah, Peggy, they do seem like a really good bunch of kids, actually.
It was just weird, like, on the show, like, kind of, you know, once we got into separate teams and stuff, like, I just felt everybody kind of just did their own thing and didn't talk to each other much and, you know, talk shit about people behind their back or whatnot, but whatever, you know, it was a team thing, and I looked at it as an individual kind of thing because, like, I knew I had a chance of fighting my teammates, and I knew there only can be two people in the finale, and I just kind of look at it that way. So,
what did you think of the whole thing, the whole rivalry between Misha and Rhonda, and then Edmund wanting to fight Caraway, and then Edmund almost fighting Dennis Holman, and I mean, and then Rhonda giving Misha the finger after the fight. So what are your thoughts on all that?
Man, that was like some great entertainment. We didn't get too much entertainment besides the journal and some pictures of our. Parents or whatnot, so like I thought that was some of the best humor I got on the show, just watching Edmund flip out on people and Dennis doing some of Dennis pranks he pulled, and you know, that guy's pretty funny too. But people have been asking me, like, how much is this stuff, like, true, how much of it's not? Like, I'm like, hey, this is not Jersey Shore, this is not real, this is, you know, 100% real. Like, all this stuff wasn't staged, and it was all real stuff. So,
I mean, Edmund seems like a real good striking coach. He seems like a real good. He seems like a tough guy. You know, a guy that would beat up almost anyone on the street. But it seems like picking a fight with Dennis Holman would be a bad move.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I respect Edmund. All those guys are cool with me. But, like, I don't know if he had a couple drinks or something. But yeah, that's not very smart. Dennis Holman, I think, would have out muscled him to the ground and, you know, finished him with a submission.
I mean, I would pick Caraway over Edmund.
Yeah, probably. I would like to see that, actually, because I heard Edmund's actually pretty good on the ground as well. But, you know, like, Caraway, I got to train with Caraway during the whole season. That guy's really good. So, you know, for anybody out there thinking, you know, Edmund would just destroy Caraway, I think it would be entertaining to watch.
I think that they should make it happen. Now, Master Thong is Holman, actually. But Master Thong used to be over with you guys, right? Team Alpha Male. And
correct.
Now,
yeah.
And did he leave on good terms or bad terms or what is that? Was it awkward?
Man, tell you the truth, like he just left all of a sudden. And I think, you know, once Dwayne came, you know, he wasn't used as much as he was before. And, you know, Tong's known to have a gambling problem. All the money he would win, he would just waste it on gambling. Like, he started to complain to me, like, during the end of the show. He was, oh, man, you know, make no money. I'm going home. Like, he left early. And I was kind of upset about that. But I think what happened was all the money he made, he fucking burned at the casino.
Oh, Jesus.
You can't have Tong in Vegas for more than a week. He's just going to spend all his money.
I heard he bet on Edmund over Holman.
I wouldn't doubt that, man. That guy's got a serious, you know, gambling problem. And what he was doing here a lot, too, he was borrowing money from people, and then they would just never see it again.
Oh, man.
And that's kind of jacked up. Like, he would hit me up all the time, like, for money, and I was, you know, I'm broke, dude. That's what I was telling him. Like, I don't got no money for you. Sorry.
Damn, Master Tong. That's crazy. That's crazy news. Well, listen, buddy. Keep up the good work. I am picking you to win the whole thing. And if even if you don't, I'm still a huge fan. I will pay for any event that you're on TV. I'm paying for it. And keep up the great work, man. I am really proud of you. And it's really nice to see a nice guy do really well and bang Juliana. I think that's amazing. Good for you, man. I hope you guys have crazy babies. Half Venezuelan,
cool,
half Holdsworth.
I appreciate the support, Adam. Keep up the great work on your MMA roasted stuff and all your ventures, man. I'm a real big fan of yours as well. So
thanks, man.
For all the laughs and all the good times, and keep doing what you do.
Thanks a lot, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother. Hello.
Hey, is this Kendall Grove?
No.
Hey, this is Adam Hunter from MMA Roasted.
What's up?
How are you, man?
Good, man.
First of all, thanks for all your support. You've been, I think you're like the first pro guy to follow my Twitter account, and then you even asked me to roast you, and then when I finally did, you're like, great, now I could die a happy man. So
yeah.
So thank you for that.
I enjoy your roast, man. It's funny as hell, and I just like it, man.
Thank
it's
you,
awesome.
Man. I appreciate that. Now, it's funny because we have had two guys on The Ultimate Fighter. We have Chris Holdsworth on today, and we had Jessamine Duke. You won The Ultimate Fighter season 3. What advice would you give to these guys who are on the show now?
Man, just go out there, have fun, and fight their fights, man, and don't worry about nobody else. It's hard because you grow a relationship with people in the house, but them. At the end of the day, it's just about you, man, and you're out there trying to get a contract, and that's it, man. What about yourself?
I mean, Kendall, you've had some crazy highs, some crazy lows. I gotta, you know, you're Ultimate Fighter winner. You've been in the Octagon 14 times. Now you got a Bellator fight coming up. But I gotta say, the most impressive thing about you is that your wife has had 5 kids and she's still smoking hot. That's
I definitely won in that fight. She takes care of herself. She eats right. She takes care of her kids. That's why she stays so slim. You know what I mean? She runs after all her kids and makes sure they're fed, they're healthy, and I'm a lucky man.
No,
that's why I put a ring on it, man.
Absolutely, man. I'm looking at. I mean, first of all, you fought in the UFC, the KSW, the RWE, the Pro Elite, Superior Cage Combat, Super Brawl. I mean, it seems like every time you switch a company, you have a new kid. Is that how you like celebrate? You just keep popping out these kids every time you go to a new thing, or?
That's what. Yeah, and hopefully this time triplets, man. Knock them out of the park, and then if I got triplets, then I ain't got to worry about taxes no more.
That's one way to look at it, man.
That's the only way to look at it. No, I'm not just God bless us with five beautiful children, and I can't complain, but I think I'm done.
Yeah, five's a lot.
There's no fuckers that I had to take care of, man.
I mean,
that's why I'm fighting every week. You think Bantam has a tournament where I fight every month, so... trying to get in on that so I can feed these little fuckers.
I mean, Joe Stevenson says that you have too many kids. That's how many kids you have.
I know.
Which is amazing. I can hear them in the background.
I used to live with Joe, so I picked up that habit from him.
That's awesome. Now, you got a fight next week. It's going to be on the pay-per-view, which is...
No. You got Swiss. I was supposed to fight November 2nd for that Bellator. They switched it because I think... Well, I don't know why they switched it, but I get to fight sooner so I can come home and celebrate Halloween with my kids.
Oh, nice, nice.
So it kind of works out, but I was supposed to fight Keith Barry on November 2nd, and then about 2 weeks ago they told me, how do you feel about fighting October 18th in Cedar Rapids, Iowa? I was like, I don't really care. I'm in shape. I'm ready to go. I just want to fight. And they said, okay, you're fighting Joe Vitapol. I was like, let's do it. So I go from fighting a striker to a wrestler. What is it with Kendall Grove and wrestlers?
Now, what do you know about this guy?
I know he's a wrestler. He's helped Michael Bisping in the past, and Bisping said he's a real strong dude, and just a wrestler from Iowa.
Right.
You know? In my career, I've fought top-notch wrestlers in Mark Munoz, Jake Roshaw, Tim Boach, and I did fairly well against
them.
So he's not going to show me anything that I haven't been through or seen. So very excited and kind of happy with this matchup.
Yeah, no, I mean, you tapped out Jake Rockhold, who was a 3-time national champion. So I doubt he has any better wrestling than this guy, than Jake Rockhold did. Which, you know, and
Roshaw or Munoz, man. They're spectacular wrestlers that made the transition to MMA. Not so much Roshaw, but that's just me being a dick. But excited, in shape. I was up in Cali training with Bisping for 4 weeks, and went down to San Diego for a few days, trained out there with a couple of my buddies, and then now I'm back there in Hawaii training by running after all my kids, getting my cardio in right now.
Now, how is Bisping? A lot of Bisping gets a bad rap, I think. A lot of people say he's kind of a dick, or he's kind of arrogant, but everyone who knows him says he's a really nice guy.
Oh, yeah, man. He's one of the nicest, genuine, give you the shit off of his back kind of guy, but at the end of the day, he's a fighter, and when it's time to sell a fight, he's one of the best at it. He'll make you hate him just to watch the fight. You know what I mean? But he's a great dude, man. Hard worker, good training partner, good fighter. It just sucks that his surgery on kind of re-detached, because I know he wanted to fight this fight.
Yeah.
Badly.
No, absolutely. That was right. And he actually apologized to people. I'm like, dude, you got eye surgery. You don't have to apologize to people. There's no, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. That's just kind of how he is, man. Especially, I think he was more broken up because he was supposed to be fighting in Manchester, his hometown. So I think that kind of hit him hard, you know. He was the main event, and it's been a while since he fought out there. So he really wanted to fight. I think his doctor was even saying, oh, yeah, he still can fight. And because I left the day after he went to the doctor, and he's like, no, man, I think I'm going to be able to fight. Doctor said it's going to take a week. I just can't spar for a week. And, yeah, I'm going to still be able to fight. And then I guess the doctor called Dana or whatnot, and Dana's like, fuck that, man. Your health is more important than a fight. We can redo it later. But he was kind of devastated off of that.
Yeah, he actually said he would have fought him with one eye, which is kind of ridiculous. But
nah, you know what, man? I don't know if he's going to be mad at me or something, but the whole time that I was up there, I was staying with him. He kept on, like, we watched the UFC with John Jones and Gustafson, and I remember him saying, like, man, And that's when he actually told me, he's like, man, the top of my eye, out of my left eye, is dark, kind of fuzzy. The bottom is the same, so I can only see like a thin strip in between. I was like, what the f***, man? What's going on? He's like, well, this is the eye I had surgery. I just had surgery a couple months ago, so I don't know if it's kind of refocusing or this is how it is after surgery. So the whole camp, he was kind of fighting on one eye. Wow. We were even watching TV. He was just watching with one eye to focus in. And then sure enough, he Googled his symptoms, and he's like, bro, I think I have a re-detached retina. And then he called his doctor. He had an appointment a couple of days later, sparred the next day, trained, and then right there he went in, and they said, man, you got a re-detached retina, and let's go into surgery. So I was just like, damn, you're a gangster.
That's crazy. I mean, that's nuts. Now, are you training with BJ Penn now?
Once in a great while, I'll train. I'm not training with him now, but before my last fight, when I was fighting KSW for the belt, BJ had come to Maui for a couple of days, helped me train, give me some tips and stuff. But we're really good friends, and every once in a while, when he gets a chance to come out to Maui, he'll come. Or whenever I can take a break from my five kids, I'll go to Hilo, and we'll link up and train. But we all, sure, man, that guy was my hero, you know, coming up as an MMA fighter in Hawaii, seeing him doing what he did. And so I always looked up to him. And then when I finally got, I met him before I got into the UFC, and then he was real cool. And then when I got there, he always gave me some advice, tips and stuff, and we stayed real good friends.
Do you think he can make 145?
I think so. He's done it before. He has a strong mindset, and he wants it, man. He wants to come back. He wants to fight. He wants to end on a good note, and him and Frank Edgar got some history, so I think that alone will give him the motivation to make, 135 if he wanted to.
I hope so. I mean, motivated BJ Penn is no joke. This is scary BJ Penn, exactly. All right, couple fights I'm going to ask you about. I want you to call the winner. This week, Cain versus Dos Santos. Who wins?
I think I like Dos Santos, but I think Cain's going to pull it through. He's more technical, more all-around fighter.
Roy Nelson, Nelson Cormier.
Cormier, better wrestler, better fighter.
Gilbert versus Diego.
I would say yes. Yes.
You're picking Diego? Wow.
I love Gilbert. He's a good friend, but man, you can't, as a critic, man, Diego he gets away a lot with his just fucking mindset and mentality and the will to win. And he pulls some fucking crazy shit out of his ass when his back's against the wall. So
I think it depends which Diego. Is it going to be the pothead Diego? Is it the Tony Robbins Diego? Is it the in shape Diego? Which Diego Sanchez?
The intense Diego that that's motivated to come back and picturing the guy who ripped him off.
Exactly.
So obsessed with the guy who took all his money.
I mean, Herschel Walker says he has too many personalities. That's how you know Sanchez is Sanchez is crazy. All right, and finally, GSP Hendricks. 167.
I want to see Hendricks win. I want to see Big Rig hit him with that big shot, but I love GSP, man, but you got to respect his skills, and I just think he's a better all-around fighter.
Nice. So you got GSP.
And that's just me as a crew. As a fan, I want to see Hendricks win. I want to see Cormier win. I want to see Junior Dos Santos win. But if I'm betting and I'm at the sports book, every pick that I said.
Gotcha. Well, I have to agree with you on every pick. Except Melendez, I think it's going to be. I love Diego. I want Diego, but I think Gilbert.
Gilbert can match him on intensity and work ethic, but I don't know, man.
That's a hard one. That's a tough one. That's a pick 'em. Well, thank you, man. Good luck with your fight. Thank you for everything. Thanks for being an inspiration. And I'm going to tune into Bellator next week to watch you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care, man.
All right.
Hello?
Hey, is this the beautiful Jessie Jane?
Hi.
How's it going? It's your friend Adam.
What's up, Adam? I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It was cool seeing you last week, even though you don't remember it. But it was great. Now, but if people are listening, I used to work at the Playboy Channel. I was the warm-up comedian, and Jessie was the talk show host of Night Calls, which was the best, worst job in the world because I got to be around hot, naked girls like Jessie, but nobody in the world wanted to be. I'd be like, hey, where are you from? And I'd be like, get out of my face. It was the best. But I've always had a crush on you. You are extremely adorable and hot and naked most of the time. So,
thank you.
I always think I thought you I went back in the day you were married and I always thought maybe I could have had a shot, but I'm not really sure. All right, so so we have I've just been told that I have to reference you as the adult film star, not the other thing. Okay, so adult film star. Jessie, you are,
yes.
Now there's a picture with you hanging out with GSP floating around. Are you friends with GSP or?
You know what? That was in Vegas, and we were just hanging out at a club, and we got invited because, you know, he's represented by Affliction, so we got invited to that party, and so they invited us to the table. So, you know, my boyfriend and I went up there and just hung out with him because, you know, he knew him because he's trained so many fighters. So that's really how, like, I kind of know anything about UFC.
So who's your boyfriend?
Michael Giovanni,
and he trains fighters now. That's what
he's trained fighters for years. Like he has, like, you know, he's upcoming in that fight November 2nd, that pay per view fight with Clever. He's trained like Tito Ortiz. Like he's well known in the UFC world. He trains like the hot Kendo Perez, who I love and have a woman crush on.
Yeah, your boyfriend. That guy's huge, by the way. Your boyfriend might be one of the biggest human beings I've ever seen. The guy is absolutely massive. He's a very, very scary individual. Your ex-boyfriend, actually, your ex-husband had your lips tattooed on his neck, and I thought he was scary until I met this guy, and that guy is even scarier than him. So,
a teddy bear.
Yeah, I'm sure. Real teddy bear. Okay, so tatted up crazy teddy bear. Okay, so your picks this week. It's yeah. UFC 166. I want to know who Jessie Jane thinks is going to win and why. So the main event, Cain Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos. Who do you have?
I have Velasquez, not only because this is like their third time they're fighting, it's going to be a really good fight. You know, the first time, you know, Dos Santos won, but the last rematch, Velasquez, like, destroyed him, you know? And, I mean, they're both great fighters, so I definitely think it's going to be Velasquez.
Nice. And who would you rather hook up with if you had to choose between Velasquez or Dos Santos?
I don't know.
You don't know, just a random. Are you more into Mexicans or Brazilians?
No, I definitely just like anything Latin. I like Latin men.
You like Latin men. That's fair enough. Mm-hmm. It's dead even right there. Okay, Roy Nelson versus Daniel Cormier. Who do you like and why?
Obviously Cormier. He's from Oklahoma, where I live, you know. And so, of course, I'm going to root for my hometown guy. Plus, he's a great fighter. Very fast. He's very fast for a heavyweight, and he's a great wrestler because he wrestled at Oklahoma State.
Wow! You're giving him better picks than most of the fighters you've had on the show. This is crazy. All right, third fight: Gilbert Melendez versus Diego Sanchez. Who do you like and why?
I'm gonna pick Melendez. He's a former Strike Force champion, and he's just a well-rounded fighter, and he has good cardio, you know, very fast, very, you know,
nice,
quick.
Now, okay, now, does cardio help with it? Now, a girl, like, let's say your boyfriend, God forbid, got hit by a truck tomorrow. Now, how would a guy go about landing a hot adult film actress like you, Jessie? Just so the fans want to know.
You know what? I don't really have a type, like, and I don't like people with pickup lines. Like, I like people with confidence and just come up to me and, like, I don't know, take control. I like the bad boy. Like, I like somebody to take control over me and be like, hey, and just, you know, straight up. Because I think it's sexy when people are straight up, you know?
Yeah.
And I like confidence. I don't like cockiness. And I like somebody to make me laugh. And then, of course, they have to keep up with me in bed. I require a lot in that that way. I need a lot of sex. And you have to be able to keep up with me or I get bored.
Wow, I think I would gas out worse than Shogun there. I mean, I could probably, I'm probably good for at least 4.5 minutes. I'm more of the Kimbo Slice in bed. Not much of a ground game, but I do hit hard. All right, so so Jesse, thank you for calling in. I hope to hear. I want to see how your picks pan out. You are a very beautiful girl. Anything you want to tell our listeners?
I love you guys.
We love you too. And any, if you had to be with one fighter other than your boyfriend, who would it be?
Well, George St. Pierre.
GSP, yes.
GSP.
Yes, GSP.
But my boyfriend's got me. He's my little fighter.
Oh, that's disgusting. I'm very. That's the worst news I've heard. It's the worst news I've heard all day. That's actually where all the hot chicks are always taken. They're always taken. Well, good luck with your week. Good luck with everything. I look forward to having you on the next big fight. And thanks for calling in, Jesse.
Well, thanks, Adam.
My pleasure. Take care. You're the best.
All right, bye.
Well, people, that's our podcast. Thank you for listening. You guys, I really appreciate you guys listening. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jessamine Duke. Thank you, Chris Holdsworth. Thank you, Kendall Grove. Thank you, Eddie Wineland. Thank you, Jesse Jane. Everybody for listening. Thank you, Fox Sports, for putting me on your channel. Thank you, Fox Sports. Hope you guys enjoyed the fights this week. Let me know what you think. Follow me at MMA Roasted. Go to adamhunter.com for my tour dates and my club dates. And I'm at the Ontario Improv next week and Irvine Improv next week. And I'm all over the world. But thank you guys and have a great week. Take care. Bye.